Hello and welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. I'm your teacher, Josh, and we're starting a brand new adventure lesson today in the advanced class. I'm really glad you're here with us. I have two exciting panelists in the studio with me. One of them is an avid snorkeler, and one is a scuba diver.
Yay!
Rebecca is our scuba diver. Hi,
yes.
Rebecca.
Hi there.
Are you holding your breath?
I'm holding my breath, Josh, because our lesson says to hold your breath. However, when you do go scuba diving, you don't actually hold your breath. You do have a tank that helps you breathe while you're underwater.
And you've been scuba diving for a year now, right?
Just about a year. I got my license last summer, and it was great here in Taiwan. But the best part was I went to Thailand in September, last September, and I got to go scuba diving, and it was just incredible.
Wow, we want to hear more about that. Hi, Serena, how are you?
Hi, it's nice to be here.
Serena, you have not scuba dived yet.
No, I haven't yet, but it is on my bucket list.
Ooh, what's a bucket list?
It's just a list of things you want to do before you die.
Before you kick the bucket, right?
Right, exactly.
Well, I hope you don't kick the bucket anytime soon.
I hope not.
But you've got things that you want to do, so you make a list of that. Kind of a fun activity you could do. Mm-hmm. And scuba diving is definitely one you could do here in Asia.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. So you lived in Korea before coming to Taipei.
Yes, I did, but Korea is not known for its beaches or the ocean, so I'll definitely have to do more traveling.
Yeah, get out. Look underwater. Well, I am from, as most of you know, Southern California, and we're going to talk about basically my backyard in this article today, Dana Point, California.
Mm, wow. Dana Point, California. So this is your backyard?
This is my backyard.
Have you been scuba diving?
No. I am an avid snorkeler.
Okay.
Fu Qian, I think is how you say it in Chinese. Mm-hmm. And it's just simpler than scuba diving, right? You just have a mask mm-hmm. and some fins. And then the snorkel, which is what exactly?
The snorkel? Well, that's the thing that you put in your mouth and you use to breathe. So when you snorkel, you can only go underwater so deep. Because if your snorkel, like the top part, has to stick up out of the water, if that goes underwater, you can no longer breathe.
Well, no, I go underwater with my snorkel.
Oh, so you hold your breath.
Right. You hold your breath, and then you come up to the top, and you blow the water out.
Well, like a whale.
Exactly. That's advanced snorkeling.
Okay, advanced snorkeling. I think I will stick to the scuba diving.
Scuba diving is certainly more complex. It involves getting a license, right?
That's right. Yes, when I was going for my scuba diving certification, I actually had to do an in-class training. I think it was about 6 hours. Maybe it was less, 4 hours. But then I had to take a test. And then we had to do 6 dives before I actually had my certification. 2 of the dives were in a pool, and then 4 of the dives were in the ocean.
Wow, what kinds of things did you see in the pool?
That's great. I saw all kinds of things. I saw my classmates.
There you go.
They were pretty interesting to look at in the pool. My instructor. No, there wasn't much to see in the pool. It was just for training purposes.
Got it. But then you went on a boat and they dropped you in the ocean.
Mm,
or
no.
Did you jump off just from the shore?
Just from the shore. When I was getting my certification, it was just from the shore. So we had to carry our big heavy tanks and equipment, and we had to walk over rocks and then just jump into the water. It was heavy.
And you can be down for what, 30 minutes, 1 hour?
About 45 minutes to not quite an hour.
Wow. Usually when you go down, when you descend, do your ears pop or do you feel some
Your
pain?
Ears do pop. So you have to be very careful. There's a lot of different special terminology that you can use. But you do have to equalize your ears as you're going down, as you're descending, or else a lot of problems can happen.
Mm.
Your nose can start bleeding. You can have ear problems. So you have to be careful when you go scuba diving.
Right.
If you're not careful, you could end up in the hospital. Not to scare anybody, because it's not a dangerous sport or activity as long as you know what you're doing.
Great. Well, why don't you think about scuba diving in your next trip somewhere or right here in Taipei? We've got beaches nearby. But today we're going to talk about some American underwater adventures in the state of California. And we're on pages 34 and 35 in your advanced magazines. And it's already the 24th of July, so I'm sure you have your magazine in front of you, or you're following along in our e-version on your iPad or on your computer, and we're ready to get started and learn about underwater parks. And we all know about state parks, because we're all American here. There's beautiful nature-filled parks in where? Montana and
Yosemite Park.
Yosemite in Northern California.
And Wyoming. Virginia. Probably every state has a national park. Well, I wouldn't say every state, but a lot of states do have national parks.
That's right. And state parks, different than national parks, right? Those are ones that are kept up by the state. They'll have rangers and staff that are there to give you tours and to ensure that the wildlife is kept safe. But I don't think any of us knew that some of those parks were under the ocean.
I definitely didn't know that.
This was my first time knowing about this.
And actually, I read online that it's not all oceanic parks. There's actually four lakes in California that are also designated underwater parks.
And I guess those are parks that you also can go snorkeling or scuba diving?
Mm-hmm. All sorts of water activities. Interesting. Mono Lake is one of the more famous ones. Huh. Well, we're going to talk about the beaches today and what types of things are under the water that need to be protected. And we're going to begin our first reading today and look up top where you see the 24.
California's underwater parks. Hold your breath. There are underwater state parks in Orange County to explore. Julianne Steers knows her trek to the water at Crystal Cove State Beach. Carrying 50 pounds of dive gear is never easy, but the payoff is worth it. As a marine biologist for the Ocean Institute in Dana Point, California, Steers sees the underwater stretch off Crystal Cove as both inspiration and workplace. I always have a quest to see what new species I can find or what new behavior I haven't seen before. Every time I dive there, it's different. So she dives into a world with sea cucumbers and urchins, with octopuses and kelp, with many species of fish, and yes, at least one sunken World War II training plane.
Thank you, Luke. So the title of our article talks about these underwater parks. And what does our deck say, Rebecca?
Well, the deck reads, hold your breath. There are underwater state parks in Orange County to explore. So I should hold my breath right now. Let's do it.
Oh, that's not going to go well.
Oh, yes. It's hard
I can't
to talk.
Like that's long.
But it is a phrase we use that doesn't actually require holding your breath, right?
That's right.
It means you're excited about something, that you're anticipating is coming up that could be fun.
That's
we were
right.
all holding our breath to see what Serena's dress looked like.
Right. And it turns out to be her dress was gorgeous.
Right?
So beautiful.
Thank you.
Yes.
Did we expect it to be not gorgeous?
Well, of course it was going to be beautiful.
Anything less, right?
No. Well, I often use this phrase when I'm at an award ceremony of some sort, and you just competed, and you want to see who's going to be the winner. And I typically hold my breath. Most people in the audience are probably holding their breath until the winner is announced.
So they're literally holding their breath, still figuratively?
Some people might literally, but it's typically more of a figurative thing.
I think I use the phrase more, don't hold your breath.
Oh, don't hold your breath. That's also a very useful phrase.
That just means that don't expect something really great.
Yes.
Don't get too excited about this meal I cooked for you, Serena. I might say, don't hold your breath. It's nothing special. Because I'm not a very good cook.
I won't hold my breath.
But if you cook for me,
then you might have to hold your breath.
I'm going to hold my breath. Well, we are in Orange County, California, which is different than Orange County, New Jersey.
Right.
Which is near where Serena grew up. Mm-hmm. And it is where I grew up. It's about an hour and a half south of Los Angeles, in between L.A. and San Diego. And it's a real place. It's a whole collection of cities. Mm-hmm. Disneyland is there, and Newport Beach, and Laguna Niguel, where I live.
Yeah, I love California. California has some of the most beautiful, beautiful parks, beautiful places. But, you know, even though I grew up in California, I had no idea that they had an underwater park there.
It is interesting, and we're going to talk about what is available to you if you ever visit this part of Southern California. And we meet Julianne Steers, who is a marine biologist and a diver, mm-hmm. and she is on a trek, right, Serena?
Right, and a trek is just a long, difficult journey that you make by walking.
Mm-hmm.
And she is on Crystal Cove State Beach. And she's carrying 50 pounds of dive gear.
Almost half my weight.
I can totally understand. That's heavy. You know, the dive equipment is so heavy, and you do. You have to carry it yourself. And as our lesson reads, it's never easy to carry those 50 pounds of dive gear.
But she says the payoff is worth it. That going through all that trouble of trekking across the beach mm-hmm. is going to be worth it.
That's right.
We have a lot of times we say that something paid off,
right.
or it didn't pay off.
Right.
Can you think of some examples?
Yes. Well, for example, I love to hike. I love to be outdoors, and I love going to Yosemite National Park, which is also in California, and I remember a few years ago, I hiked up to this point. It took hours and hours and hours to get to the top. It was very hard work. I was sweating a lot. Didn't have a lot of food or water, but it paid off because the view was absolutely gorgeous.
So the payoff was worth it.
It was worth all the work.
Very cool. Well, she's a marine biologist, and I just wanted to explain, this is a phrase I have been hearing since I was a little kid. Because it seemed to me when I was in elementary school, mm-hmm. every girl I knew wanted to be a marine biologist when they grew up.
Really?
You guys
didn't? Is it because they live near the ocean?
Yeah, we live near the beach, and it just was this dream job for little girls. They wanted to grow up and work with whales and dolphins
and
sea life.
That was my sister. My sister wanted to be a marine biologist.
Yeah, I think every family had one. And I don't know where they even learned about that.
Well, I know for my sister, it came from watching the movie, the Killer Whale movie. There's a movie about whales and, you know, where they train whales and then the whales perform. And my sister, after watching that movie, she thought she wanted to be a marine biologist because she thought marine biologists trained whales.
I don't think they do that.
They don't.
They mostly track animal life under the sea, right? Learn about their habitats and their eating habits and make sure they're keeping them safe. Does it sound like an interesting job to you, Serena?
Actually, it does. Honestly, I've never lived near the ocean, but I did grow up watching The Little Mermaid.
There you go! I knew there was going
to
be...
That's probably the reason why most little girls want to be marine biologists, because mm-hmm. their dream is to be a mermaid and to live under the sea.
Well, if you think about it, under the sea is so beautiful.
It is.
And The Little Mermaid, oh, I loved that movie.
It's my favorite.
You got to see all the shells and the crabs and the fish.
Right.
Who wouldn't want to be a marine biologist?
I think we discovered why little girls across America want to be this job. And Julianne Steers gets to live that dream of your sister and other little girls. She sees the underwater stretch off Crystal Cove as both inspiration and workplace. So she's inspired by this life under the sea.
I really like what she says next. She says, I always have a quest to see what new species I can find or what new behavior I haven't seen before. Every time I dive there, it's different. And of course, a quest is just a long search to find something.
And that is cool.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, speaking of new species, I actually heard they just discovered a new species of frogs.
Underwater.
In Costa Rica, not in the water, just a little off topic. But
we're still discovering.
Yes, and it actually looks like Kermit the Frog.
Really?
And it whistles.
Oh, that's cool. It whistles.
Yes, it does.
Wow.
But yes, actually, I heard only 10% of the ocean has been discovered.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot more to be discovered yet.
Yeah, that's a good point. I've heard it said it's kind of the last frontier for us as humans on this planet. We've been on every continent. We've been down every cave and hole we could imagine. The ocean is really our last uncharted territory.
Right. And, I mean, if you think about it, the ocean is huge.
Oh,
it
yes.
just goes on for miles and miles and miles, and it's really deep, too. And I know that there are parts, depths, that we as humans haven't really been able to reach yet. So, of course, there's so much more to discover.
Well, she's diving into this undersea world down there with sea cucumbers and urchins and octopuses and kelp. And I'm guessing some of our listeners have been only familiar with these terms at a sushi restaurant.
They're all creatures I like to eat.
Really?
I enjoy, yes, I grew up eating sea urchin and sea cucumbers, actually.
Interesting.
Yes.
Rebecca's not that adventurous of
No.
either.
Wait, hold on one moment. I have tried sea urchin, actually. It was tasty, but I think it looks better in the ocean than on a plate.
Well, I do love calamari, which is what we call octopus when it gets to your plate. Oh, no, that's squid. I've had octopus, too. That is delicious.
They're a little similar.
Yeah, they're similar.
But have you eaten kelp?
No, I haven't.
You can eat kelp.
Mm, maybe not. But it's somewhat similar to seaweed, right?
That would be more like a vegetable, I
right.
guess.
You let us know, listeners, if any of you have eaten kelp, what it tastes like. But she's down there underwater with all these fish and something you wouldn't expect under the sea.
Yes, that's right. At least one sunken World War II training plane. Now, that is really, really cool. A sunken World War II training plane is just an airplane that has sunk. And the cool thing is, now these scuba divers can go down, well, specifically Steers, she can go down and explore this training plane. I think I would like to do that.
I have been on, when I went diving once, an abandoned ship that ran aground near the coast of Taiwan and explored it. It is cool to explore something that, you know, is historical or, you know, has some life to it.
Right.
Right.
Go ahead.
I have some friends that actually went scuba diving near the coast of Seattle.
Wow.
And I think they came across three sunken ships.
Mm.
But they said it looked like it was part of the ocean floor because it was covered with algae.
Wow.
So it was just all green.
Interesting. Yeah. We're going to learn more about this plane in tomorrow's lesson, that it has changed a lot due to being underwater for 60 years. But we skipped over where she works. It's called the Ocean Institute, and it's in Dana Point, which is in Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really amazing place dedicated to protecting the water. And in our next reading, we'll learn about how they are doing that. Let's ask Luke to do our second reading.
Parks Under the Ocean. The world Steers loves and works in is one more thing, a state park. Just like about 20 state beaches, the Crystal Cove Underwater Park, along with Doheny Underwater Park in Dana Point, is an official, protected state park. It was recently Underwater Parks Day in California, a designation that's aimed at ocean lovers and explorers to celebrate ocean reserves. Aquariums locally and around the state held lectures to educate people about the parks and what you can see in them. The parks are there to create a sustainable environment in the ocean, said Jonathan Witt, Senior Education Director at the Ocean Institute. By really promoting what they are and the value they have, it really brings people together. It's going to create an intimate experience for them. The network of underwater designations along Orange County's coastline stretching from Newport Beach to Dana Point, includes conservation areas or the state's marine reserve, which includes about 120 underwater refuges along the 1,100-mile California coast. In all these zones, there are strict rules about fishing and collecting from tide pools, restrictions aimed at preserving the species that live in the areas.
Thank you, Luke. So this park, as we said, is under the ocean, and it turns out California has designated several state beaches as underwater parks. One of them is down here at Doheny State Beach, which is kind of south of San Clemente, near Laguna Beach, and it is one of my favorite beaches. You all have to visit Doheny. It's got shore break waves, so you don't have to travel out very far to body surf or surf, and it's great for camping.
Well, it sounds like I need to go check out this park as soon as I visit California.
Come on out. Well, it says it was recently Underwater Parks Day in California, and that was a designation aimed at who, Serena?
A designation aimed at ocean lovers and explorers to celebrate ocean reserves.
Excellent. So it's a kind of it was a whole statewide effort, not just down here in Dana Point, but I read that the Long Beach Aquarium and some other famous oceanic institutes like Monterey.
Yes, I was just thinking about Monterey. They have an incredible aquarium there called the Monterey Bay Aquarium.
And all those ocean lover spots across California got together to celebrate the ocean, and the fact that we need to protect it. That's what being a state park is about, right?
That's right. And I think it's interesting here in our lesson, we read that all of these different aquariums, they were gathering together to educate people about the parks and what you can see in them. And I think a lot of people, I know myself included, I like going to parks, I like going to aquariums, but I don't necessarily feel like I'm always educated about, you know, how to protect these particular parks or the animals in the parks.
That's a good point. And because we do need to think about sustainability, which is the word that Jonathan Witt uses there in line 21. And sustainability, it's a big word, but it's really just about taking care of the earth, right, Serena?
Right. It's just about maintaining something or continuing something.
Right. Jonathan works at the Ocean Institute.
Right. He's the Senior Education Director at the Ocean Institute.
And what are they working to do there?
Well, we read, by really promoting what they are and the value they have, it really brings people together. It's going to create an intimate experience for them. And of course, what they're talking about is wanting to create a sustainable environment in the ocean and wanting to educate people about this.
Yeah, because we all know how to drive into a state park, but how do you experience an underwater park without scuba diving or snorkeling?
Right, I think it's difficult for a lot of people.
Right.
Well, there's some ways to do it that involve not just underwater necessarily, but also areas that are called marine reserves. And this area from Newport Beach to Dana Point, it says, it's actually a lot of areas where you can walk and explore the ocean because there are areas called tide pools. And tide pools are areas of the ocean, usually rocky cliffs and areas that are, you know, have sort of trails associated with them, that the water level rises and falls based on the tides.
You know, as a kid, I loved playing in tide pools. So oftentimes we'd go to the beach and we'd see these little tide pools in rocks. You know, so in California, there's a lot of rock crevices, a lot of places where you can find tide pools. And we would try to collect the little shells and other creatures that ended up remaining in the tide pool after the water went back to the ocean.
And that's what they're trying to stop, right? They're trying to keep people like Rebecca, age 8, from taking things out of the ocean.
As a kid, it's just so much fun to stick your hand into the tide pool and see what you can find.
So all these kids should go to here so they can learn not to do that.
Exactly.
Right.
Because those dead starfish and anemones at Rebecca's house, that's what we're trying to avoid.
Exactly.
Keeping the sea stars and anemones and cucumbers alive.
Yes.
For many generations to enjoy.
Well, in our lesson, we read that there are about 120 underwater refugees along the 1,100-mile California coast.
Yes, and a refuge is a protected area, right? Undeveloped.
Right.
And that's really the downside of living in such a beautiful part of the world, is that everyone wants to live there.
Right.
So we have this constant tension between should we build more houses or should we protect the undeveloped land?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I understand these people want to make money. It's you can sell a beachfront property that's really even tiny for millions of dollars.
Wow.
Or do you leave it open for young children to enjoy?
That's right. I know as a kid, I thought it would be better to leave the area for children like myself to enjoy. But, I don't know, sometimes people want to make money too.
It's a tough choice. Well, we hope you have enjoyed our first look at underwater parks in California, and I hope you'll come back again tomorrow. Until then, goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.